The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, there's been a landmark breakthrough in ovarian cancer treatment. The NHS has approved this treatment and women are set to benefit over in the UK. But how significant is this news for us here? Janice Walsh is a consultant medical oncologist at St Vincent's University Hospital and she's with us now. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for being with us. Are you excited about this breakthrough? What do you think it means?
I think we're excited about this breakthrough like we've been excited about many breakthroughs. I mean, this drug that we're talking about today is part of a group called antibody drug conjugates. So they're kind of a new targeted therapy. And essentially what they have is two components. So they have an antibody which sticks to the abnormal cell, and then it's attached to a small amount of chemotherapy that is then delivered into the cell to have a direct killing effect on those abnormal cells. And I suppose in the land of ovarian cancer, where we've enjoyed very little success despite a huge amount of investigation and novel drug discovery, this really has displaced drugs for the very first time in 20 years. So in ovarian cancer, this is a very significant move.
So does that mean if it is directly attaching itself to the cancer cell, that all of the harmful effects you get with chemotherapy would be vastly reduced?
So definitely reduce. Now, they can produce different types of toxicities. And for many of the women who are on these drugs, they will know about it, particularly, let's say, some eye effects. But in terms of nausea and fatigue, those really debilitating side effects for many of our standard care chemotherapy drugs, where they affect both our abnormal cells and normal cells, it has dramatically reduced that. So many of the women who would have participated in these trials would have talked about, in addition to the fact that they're delighted to hear that they have better survival as a result of these drugs, they have better quality of life.
So I heard this described during the week as a sat-nav, which tracks down the cancer. Do you think that's an accurate description, that it goes to hunt for the cancer cells?
Well, I think it's just one of these targeted therapies and we're moving towards this personalised care. So I think within this group, that is correct.
So you mentioned there that, you know, not much has changed when it comes to the treatment of ovarian cancer. Cancer in general, though, is treatments changing very rapidly now, because we have had, or it certainly feels like we've had, a number of announcements in recent months.
I think cancer care has been radically changed, Claire, over the last 5 and 10 years, as a result of better technologies to be able to interrogate both tumour and circulating cells within the body. We have been able to identify targets, genes that essentially are switched on, switched off, and allowed us then to develop drugs that target those. So I think, you know, for many of us, we came back from Chicago in June. The largest international cancer conference is part of the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And every year we go over there to essentially network to try and get clinical trial opportunities for our patients and to talk about new developments that are occurring. And honestly, the level of groundbreaking research that is emerging at the moment is really unprecedented. I would say that every 4 months we have new data coming out in all different cancer types that very often is practice changing. And I think what's been really encouraging is, you know, I'm a breast cancer specialist. So for us, we've enjoyed progress in breast cancer management for a long time, but a lot of our very difficult to treat cancers, such as ovarian cancer or pancreatic cancer, have had a really important developments. And I should add lung cancer in there too.
Okay, just on lung cancer, we did hear overnight about a development in that area too, where we have this set of proteins identified now in the blood that may accurately predict who is going to develop lung cancer. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, really, isn't it? And this kind of work is happening in all different cancer types. But our problem with lung cancer is very often it is found late and therefore incurable. And if it's not incurable, people have to go through very aggressive chemotherapy and immunotherapy type regimens. And we know that earlier detection means that patients do better. And of course, the Irish Cancer Society is funding a very large pilot study looking at the early detection of lung cancer at the moment in patients with who are at higher risk. So I suppose this article, you know, it's very preliminary, but essentially what it's doing is it identified these set of proteins that are in the blood, which are involved in inflammation, which is one of the buzzwords in cancer development at the moment. And essentially what they have noted is that if you have these proteins, you may be at higher risk of developing lung cancer, particularly if you have been exposed to high risk behaviour. So I suppose the big one would be smoking. And then the other one, which you have no control over, is possible air pollution. And I think this signature has also been identified to be activated in people with benign conditions such as COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So people you would see going around with oxygen needs, or pulmonary fibrosis. And when they looked then at that signature in trials that have used various anti-inflammatory medication, what they did note was that those patients who'd received the anti-inflammatory medication had a lower incidence of lung cancer. Now, is this practice changing? Absolutely not. But is it hypothesis generating? Yes. And it needs to be tested in bigger populations. But I think, you know, this is a development that, as I said, that we are seeing in a range of different cancers, and really is an indication as to why we're moving forward so fast.
So a lot of the research done over recent decades is coming to fruition now, because I know you said that things have changed in your area of breast cancer, but when it comes to ovarian cancer, I think you said earlier that the same drugs are in use that were used 20 years ago to treat that cancer.
Exactly right. So today, if your cancer grows on what's called a platinum drug and you become platinum refractory, the drugs that we are using, standard care up until this mirvetuximab was showed its data, were 20 years old. And honestly, that is despite a huge effort in terms of trying to improve patients with this disease. I think what would be important as well is they're also looking at this drug now at an earlier stage. And while we think that patients need to express high levels of this folate receptor alpha, which is the target for this drug, we may even get benefit when we have lower levels of that expression and in front line. So generally, when we see benefits of these drugs at later stages, what we want to do is bring it forward to see would these patients do better if we gave it earlier?
Okay, so were patients treated with this drug as a first line defense, or do you have to still go through all of the other options and then use this?
So good question. So the trial that was published there recently that came to the fore on the basis of the NHS approval was patients who had their cancer had grown on first line treatment. So this was up against our standard second line treatments. And there are trials at the moment now moving that mirvetuximab into first line that are ongoing at the moment. And some of those will potentially open in Ireland, we hope. I suppose it is worthwhile saying that AbbVie, who is the company who owns this drug, they opened a compassionate access program for our patients. And we are very grateful for all of those, because as we wait for the drug approval process, we obviously do not have it in Ireland at the moment. It's going through that reimbursement process. But for patients to be able to access this drug for them is so reassuring. Their quality of life is better. It gives oncologists the ability to get experience with these drugs, because maybe we didn't participate in the clinical trials that would originally have found this data. And of course, it saves the exchequer, our taxpayer, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of euros.
So it is available to at least some ovarian cancer patients in Ireland right now.
It is open right now in a compassionate access for second line patients who express this folate receptor alpha. So there are specific patients who will not benefit, but obviously those, your oncologist would discuss that with you.
Okay, we have been talking a lot about the drug approval process here in Ireland on the show this week in relation to Friedreich's ataxia and the Skyclarys drug, and there has been a huge demand for that drug from patients. But on the general issue of the drug approval process in Ireland, Janice, there is an argument, or there are people who believe, that it is very slow in this country. Is that your experience, or do you have a view on it?
Oh, there's no question. It is extremely slow, and it is a great frustration for all of us as oncologists. I understand the difficulty that our government has in terms of these drugs, because they are very expensive. But our process is extremely slow, and certainly one of the slowest in Europe. that is why I suppose we are particularly grateful for companies that open compassionate access programs, because otherwise our patients do not benefit. And that, you know, for curable type drugs, this is a big issue. Because we know that for those patients who relapse with metastatic disease, it is both devastating and extremely expensive. So it's a false economy.
And is there any way that you can see off the top of your head that that process could be speeded up? Like what's delaying it? Do you know?
We are continually engaged. Very often it's just the funding piece at the end. Where it has gone through and the drug has been approved and then it's trying to find the money to pay for it. So it is not a process I'm directly involved in.
I know, I understand that. But I'm sure you're at the end of it, you know, in that you know that there's a drug there that you, if you could get your hands on it, you could use it, and must be frustrating when at times you can't.
Beyond frustrating, Claire. Can you imagine having those conversations with patients where they see this as a real indicator that they will live a little longer and live with a better quality of life? So it is an extremely difficult conversation, and one that unfortunately we have many of.
Yeah, you see, there's another side to this, but I think it is related to it. Like today in the Irish Times, there was a news story, which we've covered on the programme earlier, where these huge companies that are multinationals operating in Ireland have made public filings to the US authorities. And this tells us that the likes of Johnson & Johnson, AbbVie, the company that you mentioned there, Bristol Myers Squibb, they're paying an absolute fortune in corporation tax here in Ireland. AbbVie paid $431 million to the Irish Exchequer in 2025. And I suppose if you're looking at the balance here, I mean, that's the money that they're bringing into this state. And are we then quibbling about what we are paying for the drugs that they are producing? I know it's tangential to what we're discussing, but it is there. The numbers are clear. And so considering that we're having this conversation, you know, that's the bare facts.
I mean, I think it's important that we have a robust system. I mean, as you know, the drug prices are incredibly high often, and they are ever coming. You know, we have a pipeline that every 4 months, I would say, every single one of us involved in different areas of cancer are looking for new things because new things have been approved. So I understand the frustration. We have to come up with some model where, you know, we have to prioritize those drugs that make the biggest impact. And the difficulty is that patients will want it for themselves because their impact obviously is tangible for them. And then you have a government who's trying to run the country also. So I suppose I can see the frustrations on all sides. I suppose from a cancer specialist point of view, I feel that we must approve those patients' drugs where they are increasing the likelihood of cure. Because the reality is when these cancers relapse, they are exceptionally expensive. And it is a false economy to be thinking that we've held back on money when we were at an earlier stage of disease. So, I mean, that is my take.
Well, that makes sense, I think, and probably makes sense to a lot of people listening. Janice, thank you for being with us this morning. Janice Walsh is a consultant medical oncologist at St. Vincent's University Hospital. And if you'd like to add to that conversation, do get in touch with us on the WhatsApp line 087 1400 106.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.